Good afternoon. So this is very, very much a microcosm of a word that I feel pretty comfortable. This is what I'm going to share. I have a couple of things bouncing around in me, but I think I'm going to share this an expanded version on Sunday. So think about John 13 through 17. And if you were to read those chapters like you just started reading them, but you read them at the cadence that you think Jesus probably spoke, so it'd be like this. So you're not rushing, but you're just reading like normally it would be spoken. It probably wouldn't take you 10 minutes to read those four chapters and five chapters. So this was like a 10-minute conversation because it doesn't have any record that they stopped asking questions. Jesus wasn't trying to explain the Greek words. He was just talking, this little upper room discourse. But today I was looking at some things just about this whole thing where he says, I will not leave you as orphans. Let me just read that scripture again. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I, Jesus, will come to you. And when I saw that, I thought, man, that is such a powerful word, because one of the real themes in the body of Christ over the last few years has been Christians being released from an orphan spirit. And you hear people talk about that a lot, and I won't get into a lot of that part this morning. We'll have more today. We'll have more time on Sunday. But Jesus says really clearly that he does not leave us as orphans, and that therefore our salvation was God's solution to being an orphan. So as I began to read through these scriptures, I just noticed in chapter 14 how often Jesus was using the word Father, and then I just sort of got obsessed with it and decided I was going to read and mark, circle, and read every place in these chapters, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, this 10-minute conversation, that Jesus referred to the Father. And it's 123 times. That's incredible. So you think the Holy Spirit, through Christ, was trying to make a point? Jesus was trying to make a point about the Father? Because, you know, the Scripture says that before we came to Christ, we were at enmity with him. There was separation. Now, Jesus healed that separation at the cross. But only those who accept the solution, who receive Christ, does that become that which has been provided for them and becomes real to them, experiential to them. And so we aren't orphans. And you have to understand that in everything that God did, this just constantly blows me away. He didn't like, well, we're going to do this way. We're going to do this way. We're going to fix this problem like this. We're going to fix this problem like this. He fixed every problem by placing us into Christ. The person of Christ, it's not something that Jesus did for us. It's something that happened in Jesus. Every solution, every victory, everything was overcome by placing us into the person of Christ. And so this whole issue of our orphanness, or is that a word, orphanness? Probably not, but it'll have to do. Was healed by the Father placing us into Christ. Now, in what way did that heal our being spiritual orphans? It's because by placing us into Christ, we now have his relationship with the Father. So it's not just that the Father said, well, here's the deal. They're going to be forgiven, so I'm not going to be mad at them anymore, you know, but they're going to have to really work at this thing about this relationship, because mankind screwed it up. And so nearness, intimacy, and fellowship is they're going to have to, like, work on that. But I'm not mad at them anymore. There's nothing between us. But they got to do something. They got to walk. They got to seek me in the sense of, but that's not what happened at all. So let me just read a few verses to you. Because we know that, and you've heard me say this a lot, but let me say it to you again. This original statement is my statement. The second part is something the Lord showed me, but I think it's pretty obvious, but you are woven into the fabric of Jesus' existence. But because of that, he's woven into the fabric of your existence. So the second part means that Jesus is involved in everything I do. He lives his life through me on earth, woven into the fabric of my existence and my everyday life. But I'm woven into the fabric of his existence. And so what's true about him and what's true about his life as one of the persons of the Trinity becomes true about my life. That becomes my existence. And so when Jesus says, he starts off by saying, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. He's speaking to God the Father. Then believe also in me. They have to remember again that as Jews, his disciples grew up believing that there was a great distance between them and God, and that God was angry with them, and God wanted to pour out his wrath on them, and that you never would say, call him Father, because he's holy and you're unholy. But Jesus came to reveal the truth about him, that he is Father, and that he is good, and that he loves us, and that his heart is broken over the separation. So Jesus didn't come to quench the anger of a really mad father. He came to quench the heartbreaking, the broken heart of a father who was unwilling to live with our separation. So much so that he was willing to become a person. He was willing to become a human. The Father sent his Son to become a human so that in this human Jesus, all humanity could be reconciled with the Father. So in my Father's house are many abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go and prepare a place for you. And so we know this, it's in his Father's house. He talks about his Father, the kingdom, but in the Father's, the realm where the Father lives, his house. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. So he's the dwelling place, Jesus, the abiding place. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So we've used that to reference the fact that wherever you are, Jesus is there too. So it's not they're not just dealing with you, they're dealing with Jesus. That's all true. But the other side of this is Jesus says, where I am, there you'll be also. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you, to the cross. And then I will come to you and take you to myself, so that where I am and where you will be also. The Upper Room discourse starts with, now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knowing that his hour had come and that he should depart out of this world to the Father. Verse 3, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and he had come forth from God and was going back to the Father. So when Jesus says that where I am, you'll be also, where is he talking about? In the presence of his Father. Verse 6, and Jesus said to him, I am the way. He's the way to what? He's the way to nearness with the Father. He's the solution to the separation. He's the way to intimacy. That's one of the things that means. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so the answer to the separation, the answer to the fact that you and I were created for nearness with God, intimate fellowship with him, is by placing us into Christ, by Christ taking us to himself. And so his, having gone back to the Father, in his ascension, he took us with him. He took us in him. And the humanity that he's clothed in is your humanity, in my humanity, in your humanity. And therefore, Jesus gets to participate in Jesus in now going back to the Father. You are now there in him. And everything he, the Father, feels about Jesus, everything they experience, can you imagine the kind of joyful relationship they have with each other? The kind of love that God has with God the Father, God the Son, Holy Spirit in the middle of all that? Can you imagine that what that was like? Well, that's now your place. And that's what you get to participate in. Just as Jesus participates in everything you do on this earth, you get to participate with everything he does in the heavenlies. Now, you see, that is a healing to an orphan spirit. So we made it so difficult, an orphan spirit, and being healed of orphan spirit, you know, people with orphan spirit feel abandoned and they get rejected really easy and they yada, 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 yada. And so we pray this prayer, we do that thing, we do this thing. No, your eyes are open to the gospel. That Christ says that he's come to take you to himself so that where he is in his intimate, joy-filled, mutual sharing relationship with the Father, as close as he is, That's now where you are. And you're as accepted as Jesus is. You're as celebrated as Jesus is. You are as safe as Jesus is. You are as unabandoned and incapable of being abandoned as Jesus is incapable of being abandoned by his Father. It all happened in person, Jesus. That's amazing. That's being reconciled, right? That's better than that. So we don't have to work our way through an orphan spirit. We don't have to get people praying and screaming at us, doing deliverance prayers about getting rid of orphan spirit. Jesus took care of it. We just need to understand the gospel, how good the good news is. This is just one part of it, but that's a pretty good part. And so I'll just read one more thing. This is almost like a preview sermon for Sunday, but I had more fun this morning in my time in prayer. Jesus said, and this is chapter 16, verse 16, he says, "But now I'm going to him who sent me. These things I've spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will speak no more to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly of the Father." When does that happen? Now, in Christ, you're in Christ before the Father, and Jesus wants to tell you everything, involve you in everything about his relationship with the Father, because you have his relationship with the Father. You're co-heirs with Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in you crying, "Abba, Father," because you have Jesus' relationship, and therefore, there are a lot of things. Therefore, everything Jesus has, you have. All the blessing, the heart of blessing on the thought that the Father has on Jesus. I mean, what kind of attitude does the Father have towards Jesus in terms of favor and blessing? That's yours. That's why it says you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places because you're in Christ. And it goes on the very next verse and it talks about in Ephesians 1:4, because you have been grafted in to his sonship. Because you have the spirit of adoption. You've been adopted into Christ. So I love that. I love the fact that Jesus says in Matthew 11, "No one knows the Father except the Son, in whom the Son chooses to reveal him." So in my relationship with Jesus, in your time alone with the Lord, you know, and in your walk with the Lord, one of the things God wants you to be conscious of is just his nearness with the Father. And that Jesus is constantly teaching you how to participate. What's going on? Everything that the Father says to him or feels about him, he feels about you. He wants you to learn to celebrate this fellowship of the burning heart between him and the Father. Okay? So one of the things, too, let that minister to you, but pray, because I think it's such an important word. And I'm not going to speak for 10 hours on Sunday, but I want to be able to say the things that God wants to say, because people walk around all the time talking about having an orphan spirit. Well, I thought you had the Holy Spirit, and he's called the Spirit of Adoption. You're not longer an orphan. You can't get any closer to the Father or find more acceptance. And it's in that. Then it's not just Christ becomes so real to you, that the Father. You live in a consciousness of this celebratory relationship that you now have been included in. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.